So I'm getting baptised today because I want to make a public declaration. It's my outward expression of the inward transformation that's happened within me. It's a change that is inside, it's intrinsic, and it's who I am now. I'm not the past, but I've got this amazing future ahead of me, and God's got it all planned. Basically, my story is a story of lies being broken. Because the only thing that can combat a lie, such ingrained lies, is the real knowledge of truth. I've been recalibrated to Jesus.
Nice.
Because a lie cannot argue with the truth. When you see the lie for what it really is, it's a feeble attempt. But when you're in the midst of those lies and you don't understand or know the truth of God, they can seem like the truth. And it can get really mixed up, which is what happened with me. John 8:32 says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And all through my life, I thought I knew the truth. But it turns out I actually knew nothing, because I knew the verses in my head, but I didn't know them in my heart. I disconnected from the Bible because I thought, this is 2,000 years ago. How is this going to affect me and affect my life? So the only reason and the way that God spoke to me was through something real within me, which was my healing. And, you know, how did I learn this truth? With a closed and broken heart. And that was through freedom. Freedom from my oppressors. An oppressor that was real to me. And it wasn't a Bible story. It wasn't 2,000 years ago. This is a God who took the Israelites out of slavery. This is God who healed me from schizoaffective disorder. This is my God who healed me from a life sentence of drugs, like medical drugs that numb you and make you forget who you are. This is my God who's made me realise that I am loved and he has always loved me. I lost sight of the truth, and the truth was replaced by lies, the lies of schizoaffective disorder. For anyone who doesn't know, it's a mental illness which consists of schizophrenia and depression. So the schizophrenia for me was hallucinations, such as very real voices telling me to do things or seeing things, or it was a break from reality. It was a break from the real world, and I fell into a different world, and it was a scary world, and it was a dark world. It was like being in a dream, but it wasn't, because it was my reality and it was my future. So all my belief systems have basically been changed and become not from believing I am loved, which was in my core, was you are not good enough, and that you are whatever these voices tell you. So when I was 17, I was hospitalised. Not only had I lost my freedom of mind, but I'd lost my physical freedom, as I was trapped in four walls. And there was a time when I was on one-to-one observations and I couldn't be left on my own. Which meant basically, where's Jesus in that? You know, where's Jesus in that? I remember sitting in this hospital room and I just couldn't cope anymore. I curled up into a ball and I was surrounded, just a circle of things around me shouting at me, telling me all the things that hurt me most. Shouting things, laughing at me, just breaking who I was inside and who God has actually made me to be. It was a helpless situation. Counsellors, psychologists and psychiatrists had no answer or no cure. They tried science, they tried MRI scans, and there was no evidence of why I was like this. They couldn't do anything but drug me and numb the pain. They prepared my family for new Becky. They said, "Oh, Becky is gone now." And this was an educated psychiatrist. He said, "Oh, Becky is gone. So this is new Becky now. This is who your daughter is." And my family, they're strong people of faith, and they did not believe that this was God's plan for my life, even when I did. God promised my mum. He made a covenant with her. He told her, "I will heal Becky." And he told her this before she even knew I was ill. So what do you do with that? You just say, you know, I'm going to heal your daughter. And she thinks, what? She's not ill. But the illness was at that point inside. It was destroying who I was inside before it became an outward expression. And as I got more and more ill, my mum and my family and my church family stood and prayed for me. They prayed faithfully for me for years, and I can't even tell you the difference that that has made to my life. Because when I didn't know who Jesus was, when I thought that I was deserted, when I couldn't accept or physically process Jesus' love, I thought it was a lie, because I was just driven by, not by God. It was just, I was driven by pain. And Jesus actually revealed himself to me through the people who prayed around me, who the people who took part in that spiritual warfare and spoke on my behalf to the heavens when I was too weak to do so. So I just want to thank every single person who stood in that gap, in that massive void between me and Jesus, because you kept me from falling into that pit so God could heal me like he has done. And even when I was in my darkest place, I now see that I was completely surrounded by love. And that just blows my mind. So my mum told me about this promise that God's going to heal you. And you know what? It made me so angry. I was fuming. I was like, God, if you're almighty, if you're all powerful, why not now? Why are you letting me go through this? Why are you letting these voices say these things to me? And I kind of wanted God to stop loving me so I could blame him, because I didn't know who to blame. But all that time, he still loved me. I pushed him away and he loved me, and his promise remained constant. The only constant thing actually in my life, because I was moving between hospitals and home and hospitals again, and I was just in a complete a life of despair. God gave me an image of the situation I was in. It was like each lie that I hadn't combated with God's truth was like a brick, and each brick came around me, but I didn't realise it was happening. And then one day I look and I'm surrounded. I'm trapped in this high building, these bricks of solid lies, and Jesus' light couldn't get through those bricks. That truth couldn't get to me, because all I could see was the darkness and all I believed was their lies. But in Joel 2:25 it says, I will repay the years the locusts have eaten. And that is true. And I still believe that God has more for me now. And he is still repaying. He's still repaying those years. But that was something my mum and my family really held on to, because I got hurt. I came home and that was great. But it wasn't full healing. As we left the hospital though, there was a rainbow as we left. A really beautiful rainbow. And it's just a reminder of God's promise. And that was something that I could see. You know, no one could see the healing that was going on in me, but I could see that rainbow. And that was real. That was real to me, even to me who didn't understand who God was or what was happening. But I was still numbed and drugged by what I was on. And I thought to myself, you know, oh, so, you know, I've been told that I'm going to be healed. Is this what God meant? I'm not going to be in hospital anymore, which is amazing. But it's not amazing. It's not where I am today. And I just questioned. Those doubts kind of crept into my mind again, saying, why has the great healer not healed me? It's been 2 years. It's been 3 years. In fact, I became ill when I was 15, and I would have been turning 18 at this point. So it's been 3 years of this torment. But people around me still prayed. They spoke to my storm for me when I had no voice. It was spiritual warfare and nothing less, because it was real. I know you can't see it. And sometimes when we pray, we don't understand the massive impact that has. But I am standing here today as a testimony to the power of prayer and faith. Sorry. I tried to do things on my own. I made myself a recovery plan. It was boss. You know, I planned it all. I gave myself weeks of when I'm going to come off my medication, you know. And every time I just got sick, I just got worse. My hallucinations got worse. And I hit a wall, a complete wall, because I thought, if this is life, I don't want it. Because I can't live like this. This has been 5 years, and that's it. I can't have any more. You know, is this my life now? And my mum and dad had been encouraging me for so long for Nick and Ange to come and pray with me. And it made me angry, actually. I was like, well, are you messing? I'm on all these medications and they want Nick and Ange to come and pray with me. That's just awful. I'm not having this. I'm going to get to the good bit now, I promise. And you know what? They came round, and if I thought, you know, I pushed this God away. I didn't know him. But then I thought to myself, why do I feel like something really big is about to happen when I knew they were coming? For the hour before they came, I was scared, and my body was going into this anxiety, and this, like, my symptoms were getting worse. But I think that is a sign of these lies, knowing that this is the beginning of the end and their time is limited. In Revelation, it says that, if I can find it, in Revelation it says, it's talking about the devil. He's filled with fury because he knows that his time is short, and he knew that in my life his time was short and that healing was coming, because he can't renounce God's promise. So he just did his best to do as much damage as he could before that time. But the time had come, and I remember distinctly Nick saying to me, can you say Jesus? Can you say Jesus' name? And my throat closed up. I couldn't do it. And Jesus is truth. And I couldn't announce the truth. Physically couldn't, because my throat was closed. And it was like I was so stuck in these lies. But these prayers that were coming over me, as people stood in faith, they were weakening the foundations of that tower of lies that was around me. Matthew 11:28 says that, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, after that first prayer, I remember for the first time in years, I felt peace. And I was still for a little bit. I had a little glimmer of the stillness and the peace that God can actually give you. And sometimes you don't know the weight of your burden until it's lifted. I regained the gift of the Spirit, which is peace, just for a short time. But it was enough to give me that knowledge and that hope. I tasted that peace and I wanted more. And I read that verse, taste and see that the Lord is good. And it actually began to mean something to me, because it was more of a reality than a pipe dream from 2,000 years ago. And then I just wanted more. And this is the beginning of the knot of lies within unraveling. Slowly and gently, because Jesus, he took my hand and he led me on a journey. And it wasn't an easy journey, but he led me. And he took me back through every single lie, every single defining moment that made me the broken person that I was. And he just walked me past and he showed me and said, I'm here and this is my truth. He's my shepherd. And it's not an easy path to go down, because facing those things are hard, and I've tried to do it and I couldn't do it alone. I couldn't do it with counsellors. But somehow Jesus was with me. Jesus was with me, and he dealt with the pain that I've been hiding from all my life. And with every lie that I saw the truth over, a brick fell and the fortress around me was weakening and breaking. More light from the love and the prayers around me were just coming through. Jesus' light was coming through. And the glimmers of light were just there. They were breaking through, and I could kind of see a little bit of light. And that was when I began to feel a bit of faith. But it wasn't just, I think faith in the Hebrew language is emunah, if I can say it rightly. And that means it's an action. Faith is not just a belief. And while my faith was weak, I had other people of faith to act on my behalf. And then I found my voice. I was speaking aloud against these lies because I knew the truth, and I really knew the truth. Jesus healed me in my time. He tailored the healing to my needs. He is powerful and he is loving, which is an amazing combination, because he's patient and he knows me and he knows my heart because he created me. And he knew how I needed to be healed, even if nobody else could say how. He knew how. And he just did it in his time, even though that was painful for him to see me go through all those days of feeling low or feeling suicidal or any of these things. He wept. He wept and he was there. And then the voices became less regular and prayer became more regular. There was less bad days and more good days. And the cracks in these lies, the voices lost their power because they were standing up against God's truth, which is something that no lie can come against. I found myself during prayer once just saying the word dad, and I didn't even know where it came from. And that is what my heart had been crying out for. It had been confused and lost, but when Jesus was, when I was in God's presence, I knew, and I just said, Dad. And that made me realise what love was. Hesed love though, it's biblical love, but Jesus said it in Hebrew. And I feel in my life, Hesed love was lost in translation. And I thought love was something that can change, it can go away. But God's love doesn't. It's a covenant. It's a promise. It doesn't depend on my action. It doesn't depend on me at all. In fact, he loves me with such fierceness now as he did then. He loves me as much then when I was turning my back on him, when I was acting in sin. He loved me just as fiercely then as he did now. And that just changed me. It changed me because I didn't know love. But now I do. Like, I blamed him for everything and he loved me. I sinned and he loved me. I came to him broken. I came to him completely broken and he welcomed me. Nothing I could try or imagine could break this love. And I've now been hallucination free for over a year.
Yes.
Doctors can't explain it and they don't understand it. And you know what? What that psychiatrist said about new Becky was completely prophetic. Because he didn't mean it like that, but God did. And I am new Becky, and I'm renewed every day because all these lies have been broken, and now I can stand here and say that I know absolutely nothing, because everything I thought I knew, I didn't know. And God's teaching me it all again. I'm growing up again. I'm a little girl again. Yeah. Except now I'm doing it with my eyes fixed on my God and my dad. And the floodgates have opened. This is the beginning. But God has more for me. Because he will repay the years the locusts have eaten and more. Because that's what he does. He gives us what we do not deserve. Mercy is giving someone what they do not deserve. And that is what God has given me. So I used to think and have belief, but now I want to take an action. A mobile faith is faith without action, and that's dead. And I have lived death, and I never want that again. And I know where I need to go for my life and for my truth. And it's with Jesus. My redemption is undeniable. I can see the sacrifice God's made for me, and no sin is too great for God's forgiveness. It's like I imagine it now as a courtroom, and I'm on trial. And I was reading Exodus and the Ten Commandments, and I was reading it with new eyes. This was so recently, it was only last week. And I was reading it, and I just cried, and I cried, and I cried, because I was looking and repenting for my sins, but shallowly. And then I looked at each commandment and I was thinking, I can't count the times that I have turned from my God, my creator, and hurt him knowingly, and then just brushed it off as nothing. Now, in this courtroom, I am on trial, and the judge is God, and the victim is God. So I think if this was any other courtroom, it'd be very dangerous to have the judge and the victim to be the same person, because you know where you would end up. And we would be justified, and I would be justified to be punished for what I've done, but I plead guilty. And for that, my sentencing is nothing. In fact, it's better than that. It's not a sentence, it's a gift. My sentencing is a gift. It's a gift of a relationship with the dad who's never going to let me down. It's a gift of freedom. It's a gift of truth. It's a gift that, you know what, the storms are going to come, and I'm going to have more storms in my life. I know that because we are on earth. But I know that God is with me, and I have the faith to speak. I know Jesus' name, and I know Jesus now. And anything that comes my way, I can say that I have the power of Jesus within me, because it's intrinsic. My change is intrinsic. I used to think of freedom as, well, actually, I looked up the definition for it, and online, on Google, it says to act, speak, or think as one wants. Now, I don't think that's real freedom. Well, kind of, but I misjudged that completely, and I thought years ago that freedom was me rebelling and doing what I wanted, because I am free and I can do what I want. But I actually dug myself into a pit, because there is no real freedom like the freedom of following God. I looked at the Ten Commandments with new eyes, because I used to look at them as rules and I thought religion is oppressive. But actually, anything but, for me, anything but Jesus oppresses you, and it oppresses me. Psalm 40 says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit.
Yeah.
And he set my feet on a rock. My freedom is choosing to follow God. My liberation is giving Jesus the control and saying, look, I am not in control here, so I'm giving it to you. Because when we try and keep hold of control, that's when the damage is done. So today, this is me publicly saying that I am giving the control to God. I am like the sinful woman. Jesus is anointed by a sinful woman in Luke 7. She hears of Jesus eating in a Pharisee's house, and everyone kind of has an opinion about this woman. But she hears where it is, and she goes anyway. She doesn't care. She just goes. And she doesn't just welcome Jesus into her life. She cries. She washes his... She wet her feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. She did not stop kissing his feet. And to me, that is complete, unadulterated freedom. And I can't wait to spend the rest of my life kissing Jesus' feet. I can't wait to spend the rest of my life washing Jesus' feet and having a relationship with my God, my dad, my best friend, everything. I actually know what real intimacy is now. It's with God. So I've decided that I want to be that woman, and not just in thought and in mind, but I'm taking that step now to commit and say, Jesus, I'm following you, and I don't care what the world says or what the world thinks, because I'm liberated in you, and I choose you every time.
Yeah. Amen.